Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard. And I have a trial that I must pass, I guess. I don't know. I didn't think about any for these either. Let me see. And I love steepled hats.
Oh, okay.
Joining me, as always, is one of the boys. He, Wingardium Leviosasis. How do you say that?
Wingardium Leviosa, brother.
He knows the difference between Damn it. He knows the difference between guardians.
I read Harry Potter once.
He read Harry Potter once. Sacro.
Yeah. Ron was the wrong choice.
Ron was the wrong choice for whom?
For Hermione.
But Weasley is our king.
No.
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 Welcome. Welcome to the Battle Phase podcast, where, like, before my intros were really tight and well-practiced, and these days, it just seems like I'm just saying whatever, and...
I always thought you were just saying whatever. Is that...
I mean, I was, but, like, the thing is, it seems a lot less polished these days, and I honestly think that it's just because, you know, I don't know why it is. I'm just not polished these days, I guess. I don't know. But...
In current year, Bard is not polished.
It's 2025. You know what? I'll work into my groove as we go. Welcome to the Battle Phase podcast. This is the podcast where me and the boys, sacral lately?
Yeah, I'm always here.
Yeah. talk about anime and manga. We will watch, read your recommendations, and then tell you our thoughts about them. And, you know, we'll try to break down the characters, the story, the tropes, and tell you whether we liked it or not. So, if you want to reach out to us and tell us what you're reading, what you're watching, you can reach out to us on Instagram, Threads, and X at the Battle Phase.
We're using Threads now?
We've been using Threads for a while.
I haven't used Threads. I don't think I even have a Threads. I deleted my Facebook, too.
Yes. Sacro is particularly difficult to get a hold of on social media. Well, you know, I follow you on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. TikTok, Discord. I'm back on Tumblr again for some reason.
Tumblr is one that I haven't
artists,
heard about.
All the artists I follow from TikTok or from Twitter left Twitter to go back to Tumblr. And so I'm on there because I'm following them because I like their art. That's all it takes. Literally, you make good art, I'll follow you on the application. Just pick one.
You know what's funny is that I used to follow artists on Tumblr who were friends of mine because, you know, I used to work as a comic book artist for a while.
Right.
And, you know, like not like a famous one or for like a big company or anything, but for like a small publisher. And my Tumblr was full of friends that I made in the industry. And then they all just started drawing furry art. And
hey, man, they're following the cash flow.
I know, but, like, I can't log on to my Tumblr because it's just nothing but, like, horse. Never mind. You know what? It's fine.
So I'm on Tumblr again. I've been using Blue Sky. Blue Sky's cool. You can't go, like, 5 posts without seeing something political, though. So you kind of have to, like, temper it because I'm trying to get away from political stuff. I'm tired of it all. But I can't. There's no escape.
Ever since my political campaign, I mean, I was just like, yeah, you know what? I want to get out of politics for good.
Nah, dude, you should try again.
No, God. Bard for Congress, uncensor all manga.
Congress?
Sure. Well, what would you have me as?
I was thinking a little higher, you know? Like.
Oh, God.
You know, let's see. What's higher than Congress but not quite the president?
Vice president?
No. I mean, so technically you can be president without having any sort of political history or qualifications. So yeah, no, president, that's it.
Bard for president, everyone. Yeah. Uncensor all manga.
I don't think you can make that proclamation, but you can try.
No, I mean, has anyone tried before?
There was like an uncensoring thing and they're like, you can't do that because the censoring is based entirely on the publishers.
I see.
You can't just walk into their room and be like, you're not allowed to do that anymore because I said so. Like, it's just how it works. I know. You could try.
Well, I was going to say, like, I wouldn't do so directly. You know, I'd be like, you know, I'd apply pressure in different ways. I mean, like, everybody just tries to do everything, like, so upfront. I mean, like, what's the problem with, oh, wait, no, because that's what corruption is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, corruption's a lot of
okay.
things. We just need to learn from our best friend, South Korea. When they hate you, they will make sure you are out of office.
So today we're talking about Itchy the Witch.
Yeah, Itchy. it's probably Itchy, right? Itchy?
Itchy. Yeah, probably Itchy the Witchy.
Yeah, so I was talking to my wife about it because I'm like, yeah, so this week Bards asked me to read Itchy the Witch. She's like, that doesn't sound familiar. I'm like, also, why is his name One? I'm like, his name's One?
I thought that too. Like, why is his name One?
And then I read it and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. That's why his name's One.
Did you? So what is the meaning that you incurred from that?
He's the only male witch. He's the one.
Damn it. That's like Neo being the one in the Matrix.
What do you mean? Neo's Jesus.
But like if you, Neo, his name is Neo, which is an anagram for one.
I know. That's the joke, honestly.
Oh man. Let's see. So Itchy the Witch is a manga that is new on Shonen Jump. It's written by Osamu Nishi and illustrated by Shiro Uzazaki. It began serialization in Weekly Shonen Jump in September 2024. So it's new. It's really, really new.
I figured this would be a shorter episode because a lot of stuff I want to say about this is not super critical of it because I actually think it's really good.
So Osamu Nishi is the guy that I was looking for because I knew that this manga was by the author of something else that I'd read. So Osamu Nishi is the author of Itchy the Witch, but he is also the author and artist of Maremashita Irumakun, which is a trip. Have you ever seen Welcome to Demon School, Irumakun?
No, does not even sound vaguely familiar.
Okay, so basically, like, I'm going to get into this whenever we talk about the plot and stuff, but I can see his style in this, you know, like, I can 100% see his signature on this work.
Is the other story worth checking out or no?
Yes. The thing is, how to put this, it is 100% worth checking out. I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm not going to try to make excuses for it because I know like that you have particular tastes.
Based on the name alone, I already could tell where the story is probably going.
You would be incorrect. So like I know what you're probably thinking is this is a guy who goes to demon school and then gets with all the girls. No. So Welcome to Demon School, Irumakun is actually, and this is why I have a hard time explaining it, because contrary to what the title would imply, it is one of the most wholesome manga in existence.
Okay.
You know, basically, Iruma is this kid who has parents who basically treat him as property. He is nothing but like a means for them to like live relaxed lives. They make him work jobs so that he can support them. And then one day, just for money, they sell him to a demon. But the thing is, Iruma is the sweetest kid. Like, if you remember Nihon from Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi.
I do.
Iruma is that. Iruma is just so kind and so good. And even though his parents are using him, he doesn't let that get him down. You know, he's just a really nice kid.
So he sounds like Ichi then.
No, but like, so yeah, the author for Iruma also did Itchy the Witch. And I'm going to go ahead and let you tell me what you thought about the story. And I'll come in afterwards and tell you what I thought about it, having seen his previous work.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've only seen this, so I guess this is all I have to go off of anyways. But so we're at the first 10 chapters, as we usually do. We like to get through. It's a good stopping point, actually, which is weird, because usually when we do a 10 chapter, it's like just starting the next plot on the 10th chapter we read. So I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that the next one is what I'll read. But this one actually ends on a arc, I should say.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff I actually did like about the story, and way less that I disliked, actually, which is different for me. Usually I'm very...
Dude, are we off to just a banger year? Like, both of the titles we read, like, were, like, ones where, like, both of us were like, this is good.
I mean, to be fair, they are recommended by people, and sometimes people are right, you know?
Yeah, true.
We're already heading into February, though, so we got to get that 7th time loop story going. My wife already wants to watch it, so we are starting it tomorrow.
All right, great. I'll start it tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we're going to watch an episode a day. Anyways.
Hell yeah.
So, Ichi the Witch, the very first chapter, I was ready to dislike the story because I'm not a fan of stories where one gender is the quote unquote magical or powerful one. And then there's all of a sudden the opposite gender gets it, the power, for no reason. Mm. And then all of a sudden it's stronger than the gender that already had it.
Right.
But they're not doing that with the story, as far as I can tell right now. Mm. Because, yeah. You know, I was afraid that Japan being Japan, they're very misogynistic country, would be like, ah, now women suck. Man, good. He got the power. But they're playing it off as jokes, right? It's not like a
right.
There's literally no social commentary about it. They're just like,
now have you ever read like a manga where that was the case, where it was like women bad or men bad, other sex good? Like, have you?
Yeah, I've read a lot. It's usually subtext, more like, oh well, the women can't fight, and then they give them one fight, and they're like, oh, women can fight, and then never again talk about the women. Like literally every shonen ever.
Right, right.
They're always like, we made one really strong female character and never used her.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read a... So I read this... What was it? It was a light novel. Not light novel. It was a... What's the Korean... A manhwa. It was a manhwa about a world that's where women were able to use magic and were the strong, the superior gender because they could use magic and had special powers and were just generally stronger without actually looking stronger. And a guy becomes the strongest... It's a Helix story, right? This guy becomes the most powerful person in the world, in his universe, and tries to return back to the one he originally came from and ends up in this one. And then he starts surprising everybody because he's a man who can use magic and is stronger than every other character in the show right from the get-go. Mm. And that's all he does the entire time, is show how much better he is than everybody else, which is just a manhwa storyline at this point. Can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
A friend of mine recommended it to me. He's the guy who spoiled the ending of Demon Slayer, the ending of... He spoiled a bunch of stuff. We were on watch for like 12 hours, and he would just randomly start talking about an anime he was watching without telling me what it was. And then he'd be like, yeah, I hated this part happening. And I'm like, wait, are you talking about Demon Slayer? I'm on season one.
Oh, no.
So he just spoils stuff for me. Anyways,
right.
Unrelated. So I was ready to like Ichi the Witch to kind of be like, okay, yeah, haha, whatever. Man come in, man strong. Which, sure, whatever. Where I'm used to the chosen one archetype. And then I met the character and I'm like, okay, he's kind of fine, I guess. And then I meet the girl and she's so stupidly funny. And she's goofy, and she's powerful, but she's goofy. And
yeah,
I loved her immediately.
I love her.
Descaris,
yeah, same.
Just came in, and I'm like, dude, okay. I would watch a show just her, but she has to have a straight man or a straight, you know, the archetype to play off of, right? But the thing
right.
is, she didn't get that. She got someone who's kind of dumb, but good-hearted. And it's like, it works perfectly.
Yeah.
They play off each other very well. And then we slowly figure out he was a hunter, and this whole hunter, his whole hunter bit is so stupid, but it's funny to me. And I'm like, okay, I kind of see they're trying to make a commentary about this. Like, I guess like you have to eat everything. Like, okay. So like, is this a Native American storyline? Cause that was like a big thing. Remember when we were kids,
right?
Where every
right.
story was like a Native American, like Native Americans treat the land well. Then the conquerors come in and ruin everything by only using the bits they don't need and throwing the rest away.
Right.
It's like, Yeah, okay, I get that storyline. But he comes in, he's like, we hunt because we need it or because I had to hurt somebody else. Boom, that's the entire story. Let's go. And he starts killing things.
Yeah. And it's so good, dude.
Yeah, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to just interject and say one quick thing is that you mentioned that we have basically like the duo of the story, which is Ichi and Descaris, but we also get a third added on later.
Oh, I was going to get to her. I'm getting
yeah.
there.
Okay, go for it.
Because I love her already. So there's this new
because she's the straight man. You know, like
she is. Yes.
Yeah.
There's new archetype, right? It's not that new, but it's new enough in things. It's called the girl failure. Basically, a girl who tries her hardest but just can't do it, but is super lovable, right? And she kind of has a little bit of that vibe, but she's actually still good at things. It's just she's not amazing. She said she wanted to do a desk job because she couldn't figure anything out.
Right.
I relate to that girl. So,
as a matter of fact, when you're talking about the girl failure, immediately my mind goes on to what's the girl from Ultimate Exorcist, Kiyoshi?
What was her
you know
name?
The one.
Yes, I do. Jeez. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like girl failures are actually, you're right. It's an archetype that keeps showing up nowadays. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I love her. But
yeah,
anyway,
like,
carry on.
Because they've always had like, the girl, so there's the girl boss who's like a good girl who can actually do things, And then there's the girl failure who can't do things but wants to. And they're both like opposite archetypes that work in their own ways. But the girl failure is just always such a lovable character that I always fall more for that character than I do for the...
Right.
But at the same time, like, I love the girl bossy nature of the other girl. She's so funny, but she doesn't... She's
Jaskara is hilarious, dude. I'm like, half of the laughs I got out of these 10 chapters were just Jaskara's being herself. You know, I'm just like, this is great.
I didn't love the design for the character until I saw one full page art of him. And I'm like, okay. When he gets his uniform later on. And I liked that art. That piece of art looked great. And then, like, Kamagi, which is the girl failure we're talking about, she is already falling in love with this guy because he said, hey, I don't think you're bad at things. I think you're a nice person and you're good at what you do and you think about others. And I mean, she's like, wow, no one's ever talked to me that way. I like this guy. Cool. and I'm fine with that. It usually kind of is a switch on in your brain when you start to crush on somebody, at least in media, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in real life, too. Like, I haven't.
That's true.
Because we talked about this before where you said, like, you know, Naruto didn't know that he was into Hinata until somebody told him that she was into him. And that's happened to me. So, you know, I'm like, sometimes it really is just a switch, dude. You don't control that you start crushing on somebody. You just do.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I like build up. I like when you can tell they're kind of into each other and they slowly work up to it. Kind of like, I guess it's not that way, actually, in the one we read recently, or we watched recently, sorry, with the two tsunderes in love. I can't remember.
Oh, Kaguya-sama?
Yeah, Kaguya-sama. Like, they already liked each other, but I much preferred the story of the other two getting to know each other.
Of Ino and Ishigami, yeah. I agree with you because, you know, they have an enemies to lovers type of situation. Whereas Kaguya and whereas Kaguya and Miyuki, and we talked about this during that episode where you said that it doesn't feel like they're friends. And I'm like, well, this isn't like a love born of friendship. This is more like a love born of respect, so to speak. You know, they weren't friends, but like they respected what the other one was and what the other one did. Right. And that respect blossomed into love, which was weird. It's usually not one that I've ever seen. I think that I can count on one hand the other time when it happened. And that was in Fullmetal Alchemist with Hawkeye and Mustang.
Oh, you know? They were into each other the whole time, though. There was vibes. She always hit him whenever he mentioned other women. Like, it was already there. But yeah, it was.
There was a tension.
Yeah, there was a tension. Kamugi immediately being interested. I don't mind that. It doesn't bother me. Whatever. It's an anime. It's not a romance manga. You know, it's not specifically there for like the slow buildup. It's just like this is the girl that's interested in the guy and these two will end up together. Kind of like Demon Slayer where they give us one scene with the Kanao. Is that her name? I don't remember her name. The butterfly.
Oh, yeah. So, I think her name is Hanao. Yes. The girl who Tanjiro ends up with,
yeah. She's literally like 1 second he says something nice to her and says you blah blah this and that. I don't even remember what he says at this point, and then she's into him instantly, and that's kind of how this one goes. And I'm fine with that, like whatever. But I don't know. I just liked her character. I liked their blue hair, which you see in the color. So in the color, I didn't know what her hair color was. I thought it was blonde until they showed the color panel.
Blonde too.
And I'm like, the blue looks so good. Like that is a great. The hair color with the eye. I'm looking at the color picture right now. And then he's a good boy character, which I think usually is really boring in these. But he's surrounded by a cast that works perfectly off of it.
Right. And the thing is also like, it's almost like it's a world where his particular way of being is the weird one, right? Like magic is commonplace. It's the thing that, like, basically the whole world is built around. But he's got no magic or had no magic. And so, like, his method of looking at things is more like, let's rely less on, like, practicality, on things that are supernatural, and let's rely more on practicality. And it gets played for jokes so much, and I think it's excellent.
Yeah. Once I stopped looking at this as, like, an actual, like, trying to be a... the next Naruto or the next One Piece, and I realize it's a comedy and it knows what it's doing. I'm like, okay, no, I'm cool with this. I like this a lot. I am really curious to see what the setup of him being the only male witch is going to be, because there's definitely something they're planning with it, when they showed the witches that were watching him, one looked like just straight up a man also. So I don't know if they're setting that up to be like a commentary maybe on like transgenderism or what they're doing with that, but we'll see. We'll see if they do anything with that. Because if you go back and read the chapter, she has a beard, trimmed, lined, but it could be face tattoo. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way it was drawn. There's probably not going to be any dialogue about that because Japan usually likes to play kind of safe with their social commentaries on things. You have to look kind of deep to find the stuff that's like really biting, you know?
Right.
But you're not going to find that in Shonen Jump.
I was going to say, if it's on Shonen Jump, you're probably not going to find it there. That's for sure.
Yeah. So there might be like a single piece like, oh, actually, this is this. And it's like, oh, cool. Thanks.
Come to think about it, that would be like the equivalent of, I mean, actually, Disney would be a bad example. I was going to say, it would be the equivalent of finding it in Disney, but that's where Disney is now. Yeah. Like, so they're shying away from it now, but like,
They blocked the movie because it had a transgender character in it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want Chinese sales and Middle East sales to go down. I don't know how much money Disney makes from China, to be honest. It must be enough for their concept. Because they changed Mulan, too, to take out all the fun. They took out Mushu.
Yeah.
Right? They got the magical bits, and no one liked it. It's like their lowest rated live action.
Right. And they make a lot of money off China, by the way. So, like, what it is, you know... Typically, they almost don't care if a movie does well here because, like, if it does well enough here, then they'll make the rest of their money on the Chinese release.
That's
kind of how that works. And it's the reason why they cater to China so much is because, like, a lot of their money comes from there.
I don't care about Disney. I haven't cared about Disney in, like, 20 years, basically. The last time I cared about Disney was when they put out Atlantis.
Oh, Atlantis was such a good movie. Like, that was just such a banger era of Disney movies. Because they also had, like, Treasure Planet, which was one of my favorites, hands down.
And they both
criminal that it flew under the radar so badly, man. I was like, come on. But, yeah.
Yeah, so back to Ichi the Witch. overall, I'm enjoying it. I like the idea. I like that he's just a good guy. I like that he's not overpowered yet. He's just practical.
Well, he has the potential to be extremely overpowered given his magic, right? But like,
yeah. I thought it was funny how he's like, "You can't kill me. You're not women can't stab my chest or whatever, break my heart." And the guy walks up and says, "I kill," and just immediately stabs him in the chest and steals his power. Well, doesn't steal it. I also noticed a trend where they defeat the first like unkillable or hard to defeat boss, and they become back as a little mascot character.
That's Irma-kun. Irma-kun did that too. Like it not like a boss, but like, you know, he gets like this ring later on that has like a little demon in it, and he's like just like a mascot character that's following him around for the rest of the time.
Dandadan did it too, and Bleach did it as well with
Cone. That's right, with Cone and Turbo Granny.
It's like it's a trend I'm seeing here and there, which I'm fine with it. Who cares? Like, you got to have your little mascot character to sell on keychains, I guess.
I mean, like, it's one of my favorite tropes, like the villain that becomes your friend, you know, like, so I really, really love it whenever there's like a big bad, you beat him, and now he's just chilling with your team, you know, like it's kind of funny to me, especially because usually after you beat the villain, they're really not as big a threat as you initially saw them as, you know, like, so for example, Turbo Granny and the cat, not really a threat, you know, like she's not gonna hurt anyone.
No.
But I think it's funny that she was like just this you know, like this legend, this scary yokai, and now she's basically your pet. I think that's funny.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. I'm over villains becoming good after you defeat them because I've seen Naruto. I'm tired of it.
Right.
But it's fine. I think it works here. I like when he's telling him all these terrible things that the witches do, and I was like, I kind of want to believe that, because how cool would that be if he's like, I need to upset this society, and then he's like, nah, I'm just going to throw you over my shoulder and slam you into the ground real quick.
Oh, judo throws. Like, judo throws. I was like, what is happening?
I never laugh out loud while reading manga, and I did. Uh-huh. My wife's like, what are you reading? I'm like, oh, it's that Ichi thing, and she's like, oh, I should read it. I'm like, yeah, maybe. And then she never said she was going to.
We're actually about halfway through the manga right now, because it's only 18 chapters long now.
Yeah.
We read up to 10. Yeah.
The storyline's interesting. The characters are cute for now. I can't say her name. Descaris is hilarious. I love the way he draws them in the backgrounds doing weird poses and stuff. Like, it's just a fun little manga. Like, there's not really anything negative to say about it because it's first of all, it's 10 chapters in a story that's going to be over 100. So you can't really get to the meat of the story until you're at least 50 chapters in.
Right, right.
Which is a long time.
I would say that, let's see, as far as, so Itchy the Witch, and this is where I was going to get into, like, the whole thing about, like, the parallels between his previous work, is that, you know, typically, like, you're, and it's difficult to say here because Iruma was very clearly, like, the focus of Iruma-kun. Whereas Ichi sometimes feels like a passenger in the story, you know, like Descaris and like the rest of the witches or Kamugi will have something to say and explain the world to him who has only ever lived on a mountaintop, you know? And he did, yeah. So he's having to learn about the world. And sometimes he kind of like feels like he's just kind of like passively watching. And then like, which for his hunter personality, this kind of makes sense when you really think about it, because he's passively watching and then looking for his perfect opportunity to do the thing, you know, like that is such a hunter mentality. And as a matter [S2] Right. [S1] Of fact, we get to see exactly that in full display, because within the first couple of pages, there's like a mountain guardian that they call it that's been stomping people flat. And Ichi has been lying in wait in a field of flowers for the perfect opportunity to attack it.
Yeah,
and supposedly he was there for like, he got pooped on you. Yeah. Supposedly he's been there for a couple of days. And whenever and it was a moose, you know, they called it a mountain guardian, but I'm like, that's a moose. Anyway, whenever the moose gets close enough, Ichi just springs up and just like cuts it open. Right. So it's like, yeah. So he's got like that mentality where he's like, for the most part, he's just going to watch and prepare. And then whenever he feels like the situation is optimal, that's when he strikes. As far as character development goes, I would say that Ichi's like really interesting. In that he doesn't say a lot, and sometimes the things that he says feels like they're more from his point of view than from whatever is happening around him. But I think that that just really makes him stand out, because like he is very clearly like designed with an idea in mind, and he embodies that idea.
Have you ever read the Harry Potter books?
Yes.
Okay, so in the first three, really, Harry seems to talk less in the books. He has less dialogue than Ron or Hermione.
That's true.
But it's all from his point of view. So he's just taking in everything. And it's kind of like, because you want to be Harry, right? That's what you want to put yourself in the shoes of. So him talking less lets you put a personality to him. And then later on, she's just like, okay, this is his personality now, which is fine. But that's kind of how he feels to me, where he's kind of like a character, but he's more just watching, experiencing. He is the narrator, kind of.
Sort of. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Not quite, though. Now, similar.
A couple of things that I wanted to say about this is that I really, really do enjoy, like, we get a little bit of backstory on him, just a little bit. And it is soul-crushing. But his mentality about it is something that me personally, I go through a lot of the time. So I instantly related to him, you know, where he's a little kid and he gets taken into the mountains and he gets given a knife and then he's basically abandoned. Mm-hmm. And in that moment of being abandoned, where, you know, he's going hungry and, you know, he's about to die, and a wolf shows up to eat him. And in that moment where he realizes, oh, I was never meant to survive. This knife was given to me so that I could end it all, and that I could just be out of my own misery. But something awakens in him that basically drives him to push forward. So as the wolf attacks him, he kills the wolf instead of like letting it kill him. And it just kind of develops into that mindset that he has, you know? And I instantly related to that because, you know, like, hey, difficulty, you know, sometimes you're in the middle of like hard times and something clicks inside you where it's like, this is extremely oppressive, but instead of letting it crush me, I will be the one to rise above it. And so immediately, like, I instantly related to him there.
I just realized something, too, when you were talking about that. Mm-hmm. He was left in the woods purposefully. Maybe somebody knew he was going to become a male witch or had the ability to do something that would have disrupted the world, and that's why he was left out there to die.
And you know, like this is the same thing that I experienced with Irma-kun, because it's like this is the one human that gets brought into Demon World, which seems so arbitrary, right? And like the fact that he's winning everyone over, and there's a Demon King who disappeared, and the guy who brought Irma into the Demon World is the guy who was the right hand to the Demon King who disappeared. Suddenly, it makes you think that there's something more to Irma than anyone wants to let on. And so, like, it's the same thing that I'm getting with Ichi the Witch. I think the magic system in this manga is really cool, because it's basically like, so it's mostly women, right? Ichi being like the lone male thus far. It's all women, with Ichi being maybe the person that has the beard, who knows. But let's see. Basically the magic system works in that, like, up until a while ago, I don't think that they gave us an exact figure, but one day, like, these magical creatures that are called magics with a J start showing up in the world. And what they do is they present a trial. And if you're capable of passing their trial, then they grant you control over what it is that they control. So, you know, like I think the water one was like, hey, drink all of my water and then you can control water. The fire one was like, hold me in your hands for an hour and then you can control fire. So on and so forth. So I think that's really cool, especially because that means that the fights in this that are against the magics aren't going to be just like punch them until they submit. It's going to be basically like there is a trial, there is rules, there's conditions that you must meet. How are you going to meet them? And I'm like, that is so cool. I'm like, that is excellent. It's so different from, like, you know, like from just like, hey, punch the other guy until he stops, right? So I really enjoy that. Here's the thing, though. I don't think that we're going to go 100% without punch the other guy, because mm-hmm. I feel like there will be witches who are enemy witches. And now we have to kind of deal with them using our magic. But because they're witches, they're not going to have like a trial. We literally have to stop them by force. That said, I would say that my favorite character is 100% Descaris. She's supposed to be the mentor character, but she's a mentor kind of in the same way that Gojo Satoru from Jujutsu Kaisen is, where it almost feels like they're not meant for this role. They're kind of goofy. They're kind of weird. Like, they're undoubtedly strong. We can kind of see that they're strong. As a matter of fact, before Ichi got control over his magic, which is Uroro, you know, Descaris was the one who apparently had fought him on previous occasions. And Uroro was hyped up to be just like this incredibly powerful thing. Supposedly he'd crushed villages, he'd killed thousands, you know, so on and so forth. And Descaris was the one who was his arch nemesis before Ichi shows up, and he's the only one who can fulfill the condition of, hey, break Uroro's heart, but no woman can break it. But Ichi's right here, you know, and he's not a woman. So
it's kind of like the scene from Lord of the Rings, where she's like, pulls her hood off. She's like, I am no man.
And right. The Eowyn versus the Witch King, yes.
The implication there, though, isn't that she's a woman. That's why she could kill him. It's more that he can never be defeated by any human, right?
Right.
But the change, the line is still so, goes so hard. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's not that exact same situation, but yeah, he just.
Right.
It's very funny to me.
It's so funny, especially because, you know, like, it's such a tone shift, right? Up until then, Uroro had been just, like, this really menacing creature. His design is killer, by the way. Like, all of the magics look really sick. So he looks like... I love the art in this because it looks so much like a fable. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. This is, like, a fable made into a manga. That's what it looks like, and it's so cool. But Uroro is just menacing. He's creepy looking. He's like some kind of like chimera beast. It's so cool. And instantly when Ichi shows up and he is capable of scratching Uroro's heart, suddenly it's like, oh, wait, you know, like the tone completely shifts. Like now he's not scared. He's not scary. He's scared. And it's so funny. But yeah, so like there's that. I love the manga pages where it's clearly drawn by Descaris. to give us a recap. You know, she's giving us a recap, but she drew it, so it's from her point of view, where she's like, oh, I am Descaris. I am the powerful witch, the abyssal witch, and it was up to me to defeat Uroro, the king of magics. But then this brat shows up.
I like how he's picking his nose in all of the fictions of him, too.
Yeah, it's so funny. So it's really good. I love Itchy as a character. I love Descaris as a character. Right now, she's kind of goofy. I think that there will come a time whenever she has to show us what makes her so powerful, and or to talk to a past that we are not aware of yet that explains to us how she got to be as powerful as she is. Kamugi tagging along just as the support character, I think is hilarious, especially because she feels like she didn't want to be in this situation, and it's just like, well, that's the job, kid, so, you know, tag along with these two crazy weirdos. And she's like, oh my god, I don't want to be here. But yeah, like, thus far, I love it. I mean, like, literally every fight that we've been in, Itchy has won. By not thinking in the same way that a magic caster would use, but by thinking about it in the way that he would do it. Like, he captures the lightning magic basically by hunting it like he would hunt a fox.
Yeah,
and that was hilarious to me. Because especially because, like, it's they do this trope, right? Like, you know, where like a bad guy will just, like, be bragging about who he is and what he does. And at first, we're playing it for full effect, right? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm so tired of just zapping, you know, things that are so weak. I think I'm going to go sap some humans. And as he's walking towards the village, he's all like, my name is the Lightning Magic, and I'm so powerful, and my trial is this. And, you know, he's just monologuing about how cool he is. And the whole time, Itchy's just in the background, like, you know, like stalking him like a hunter. And I lost it, you know, because, like, he keeps looking behind him. I was like, is there someone there? No, there's nobody there. It's just me here. And, like, it's so funny, dude. This is such a Looney Tunes thing. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Like, it going playing more to its strengths, as this is a manga.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Shonen Jump. They want mm-hmm. action, but also mm-hmm. let's just be crazy with it. Like, why not? Why not do all these things? Like, we're in a medium where we can do kind of wacky and zany stuff and still be play it straight. Kind of, let's just do that. When he cuts the shark lady up into sashimi, and that's, she's like, I love this. It's like, huh? Yeah, no, yeah, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
It was so funny, dude. Like, the shark magic that controls ice is like, okay, so here's my trial. Make me fabulous. I was like, oh my God, what is going to happen? Like, it's just one of those things where he's like, see, like, if it was straight up battle, you'd know what's about to happen. We're going to square up. We're going to throw hands. And then one of us is going to come out on top of the other one by one mean or another. Either my technique is superior or the power of friendship, but I'm going to win. And this one is just like, okay, how the hell do we make a shark fabulous? What does that even mean? it's so great. And it's like, I love how Descaris and Kamugi keep trying to, like, dress her up. I was like, see, like, these are fine fabrics from, like, here and there, and you look great, great. And she's like, this fabric sucks. And I'm just like, this is so funny. Like, this is great. And ultimately, Itchy just remembers, like, that one time that he had sashimi. He's like, okay, I can do this. Cuts her up into sashimi. And she's all like, I look fabulous. You pass. I was like, what?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something really dumb. But it's more dumb and funny than I thought it was going to be. And I loved it.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, like, personally, I would say that this is really good, and the guy from Irumakun, I mean, like, I knew what his style was like, and this is kind of Irumakun, too, because it's kind of the same. It's like, oh, Iruma's in danger because he's a human in demon world, but then he somehow, like, turns it all around because he can think and see things the way that humans do. One of my favorite bits in Irumakun, right? There is this demon girl, and she's like, how would I put this? She ends up being like the Hinata to Iruma, where she's into him, but he doesn't know. But the thing is, you know, unlike Hinata, she's not shy. She's actually like the student council president. She's really strong and domineering.
Wow, demon school as a student council president too? That's wild.
Can you imagine? It's insane. But like, so she's like student council president, and she's got like one of the craziest demon powers where basically as long as she believes her hype, she's unstoppable. Like, and I'm like, this is a hilarious power. So basically, like, the whole thing is, at first, she has kind of like this suspicion about him, like watching him almost like a hawk, you know, like, what is his deal? What's going on? And then one day he, like, I don't remember exactly if he, like, wandered in accidentally or if she called him into the office to just kind of like basically put the fear of God into him. But it turns out that she has like this cabinet, this closet, just full of a romance manga, like hundreds of volumes of this one specific title that apparently never ends. And it's something that her father from like who's like a liaison between like human world and demon world, so he studies human artifacts, so he brought them here for his study. But the thing is, they don't read human language, so she has no idea what these artifacts are. She just likes the art. And then Irma's all like, oh my god, when my parents were putting me to work so that I could sustain them, I helped work on this manga. I was an assistant. And she's like, you know what this is? And he's like, yeah, this is manga. It's a really good one too. And then she's like, can you read it to me? And then like their whole thing is he's reading her like this very stereotypical romance manga. And she, like, the whole time, now she wants to live it. You know, she's like, oh my gosh, this love and these high school crushes are just like, I want that. And so now, like, Iruma is, like, her singular focus, where she's like, he will make me experience these things. And it's so funny, because it's like, how is Iruma going to get around, like, the student council president of Demon School, who is powerful and who is no-nonsense, and then just out of nowhere, she likes romance manga, and Iruma can read it to her. And Ichi the Witch is the same. You know, it's like, it'll present you with, like, this impossible scenario, and then Ichi will find a creative way out of it, and it's hilarious every time. It never fails to make you laugh. Thus far, we only read 10 chapters, so I couldn't. I don't know.
I mean, maybe 11. It starts being good. I don't know. Well, I don't think that, because apparently the hype is insane on this one. It's been number one in Shonen Jump for a while. It knocked One Piece out of that slot. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, what else is competing with One Piece at this point? To be honest, everything else is kind of ended.
Everything else is ending, so yeah, it's kind of hard, right? But like, Ichi the Witch, I'm like, hey, look, I understand. And for a number of reasons, the characters are likable, you know, the story's really interesting, the magic system's interesting, the art is phenomenal. I think that this is a really good one.
Yeah, I think this is definitely worth a read. And hopefully it becomes an anime, I guess, because it's got the vibes of it.
It does have.
This story, along with what was the other one we were talking about? Dandadan and what's the sword one we just read?
Kagurabachi.
Those three, they've kind of stepped up. They might be the next generation of big three. Actually, I don't think Jujutsu Kaisen did it right. And I don't think the closest I think we came was
My Hero Academia.
And Demon Slayer. Yeah. Those two became insanely popular.
Right, but it was always like, oh my gosh, like it wasn't exactly like a big three scenario, right? Like they were good, don't get me wrong, but like it didn't feel like they clicked into like, this is iconically good. Like this could be like a part of like the big three for Shonen Jump. But I feel like Kagurabachi and Dandadan and Ichi the Witch really do feel like that. You know, I'm like, this is 100% exactly what a big three looks like. And I like that they're so categorically different too, you know? So like, for example, Dandadan is like a romance slice of life with supernatural shonen elements. Kagurabachi is 100% an action shonen in the most classic sense of it. Mm-hmm. And Ichi the Witch is kind of like a supernatural comedy or like a fantasy comedy. And I love that they're so categorically different from each other, because I feel like that's really what solidifies them into like, this is what what the big three looks like, is that they cater to a wide array of audiences, and they're likable for different reasons, and they don't feel the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're very different.
So I guess, you know, like we've covered the characters, the art, the plot. We've covered like the magic system and this and that. So I guess two questions. Number one, what is your favorite moment within the first 10 chapters? And number two, would you read beyond 10 chapters?
So I did read I started reading chapter 11 this morning before thinking, oh, I shouldn't touch this one because I'll probably talk about it by accident. So I probably will, but it's a little early for me to call it as of now. I probably will read once the next chapter releases. I'll remember, oh, I should read that. And then I'll go through a few chapters. But like I said, I got to get through Naruto. If I wasn't reading anything else, which I am, I would for sure go and finish this one, just like I finished the Exorcist stories.
I'm getting through Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi too. I haven't finished it. I'm through like they're going through that forest of death. You know, like going through like the exams to become a Grand Paladin. That's so funny, dude. Like it does not stop being funny. I love like that one edgelord character who's like, yeah, I'm the edgelord of this. I'm so strong, and you know, like my family's name relies on me. And it's like, young master, your father has left a message for you, and his father's like, remember, when you go out there, you're representing our family. If you don't live up to it, don't worry. It's okay. You know, I'm like, what do you mean? It's so funny. I'm like, what happened?
Dude, so, like, caring, loving parents of the Edgelord is my favorite trope they never use. I do have one worry about Itchy the Witch, and that is that the hype might kill it. There's 18 chapters right now. Some executives going to be like, we got to do this. It's this popular. Let's do it now. They're going to make a first season and they're going to be like, crap, we're out of content. Filler season.
Am I worried about that? Well, not really, because I feel like the author, not only did he do Irma, but he's done other manga before. So like, I feel like he's a well-seasoned professional in the field to the point where it's possible, like, yeah, I don't doubt that somebody's going to try to push for an anime, and he might even go along with it. But I think that he probably is just going to keep working on it at his own pace, and that'll probably be enough. You know, like, I don't think that this is going to be a thing that gets killed by the hype. Not easily, at least.
Okay. I'll be ready for it then.
Yeah. I would say that my favorite scene 100% is... Ichi going to like the big city for the first time, and he puts on the boots that let him fly.
Let him jump super high.
Yeah, absolutely love it, dude. Like, this is where we first meet Kamugi for the first time too. It is so, I don't know, I guess it feels so good, because you know, he is such a fun character that letting him just like experience new things feels good, you know what I mean? Like, it makes you happy to see him having a good time. And I swear, I keep coming back to Irumakun because it's the same thing. You know, like,
story over again.
Yeah, you know, so, like, it's just, it's a thing, you know, like.
Are you getting Cardcaptor Sakura vibes from this, too? The way they capture the elements and stuff and they can reuse them later?
A little bit, yes. I am getting Cardcaptor Sakura vibes for a number of reasons, because the Cloud Cards also had that thing where it's basically, like, you have to prove yourself to them in order to capture them. But additionally, the art style is really similar whenever it comes to the creature designs. Like, the Cloud Cards had a very fable look to them, and this manga looks like a fable come to life. So, yeah, I'm getting Cardcaptor Sakura vibes hardcore, 100%. So that was my favorite scene in all this, and I 100% would read beyond chapter 10, yes. This is one that I will probably finish reading tonight if I get a chance.
Oh, did I say my favorite scene yet? I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
Let's see. I just finished reading it last night because I was like, I need to go through and do this again. Let's see. I love every time that they show. No, wait, I know what it is. It's when he body slams the demon. I knew he was going to do it too, but I loved the setup the demon was doing. I was believing it for a second. I'm like, oh yeah, bad witch is evil. Yes, help me. And we'll actually make this world better for people and magics alike. And he's like, nah, bro, I don't believe you.
Just like shoulder throws him. Yeah,
just straight up judo throws him. And he's like, this is my favorite technique. It's like, you just threw a demon over your shoulder. And I'm just looking at him funny, and the analyst switch is like, yeah, it's what I expected, actually. Like, she knew this would happen.
It is kind of like a good segue into talking about, like, Uroro, the magic that that Eiichi kind of, like, managed to tame, the one that made him a witch. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, he definitely had, like, main villain vibes, but also that what he was doing in that particular chapter, where basically, you know, like, Deskara's just finished talking to Eiichi about, like, this is what witches are. We hunt magics, and you're a hunter. You should want to hunt magics. And then Uroro is basically kind of trying to twist it, you know, like, witches do this, witches do that, witches are evil, you know, we magics, we're just beings, and they're capturing us and making us into their slaves, you know, like, how you're gonna side with that? How terrible. I would never. And, you know, like, we lived peacefully before humans got involved. And then, you know, like, Eiichi basically flips him, and then he says, oh yeah, you magics live peacefully? Let me lay out some facts about things I know. And then suddenly Uroro's like, oh yeah, that, all those things, oops. And he's like, yeah, you killed people, bro. You don't think I remember that? Like, it's just like, yeah, right, about that.
I really want them both to be right. I want it to be that there are magics out there that are doing things, and it's just certain magics that are bad. But due to the way witches have been treating them, they've turned evil. I want there to be something more there. I don't know if there will be.
A little bit of nuance, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because a lot of these manga and, like, a lot of this stuff doesn't have nuance, because they're written mostly for, like, a young adult, teenage crowd, and nuance gets a little lost on them, sadly. So Naruto tried to do nuance a million times, and they did it wrong several times, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. Bleach did it a few times. Basically, the entire arc where he goes to the other world and starts fighting everybody, and then everyone's like, oh, we're actually cool, you know? Okay. Yeah, no, we're cool.
One Piece did good with nuance. Nobody will believe me because nobody wants to read it. Yeah, but, yeah, but it does.
Hey, if it does nuance correct every single time, then I doubt it. No one does nuance correct every single time. There's always a moment where that's not perfect. That was handled. And, like, my biggest for me is the way they treated after the fight Ichigo has with what's his name, where he wins Rukia's brother. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head.
Byakuya.
Then all of a sudden he's like, actually, we're cool now. And then, like, Rukia shows up and they're all cool now. And it's like, because the whole scene happens with Aizen leaving. And he takes the two people with him.
Right.
And they tried so hard to make what's his name into a good guy, and I just did not care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I knew what's his name, but yeah. The guy with the eyes closed and who follows him up into the thing.
Gin.
Yeah, they try to make him a good guy, and then he ends up dying for it. And it's like a waste of just everything, in my opinion.
Right.
But so what I'm hoping,
like,
they do
had,
is,
like,
I'm hoping they
have with Rangiku and all that. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, this feels so forced.
I also hate the ending just in general, but we're not talking about Bleach anymore.
Right.
Even though it's back.
But like, you know, nuance in Ichi the Witch would be cool. And the author, like, has surprised me in the past, dude, where I thought that I saw where he was going, and then he just, like, blindsides me with something completely different. So I don't doubt that he has the capacity for it, and I'm interested to see what he's going to do with it, because we've had a lot of setup that is basically, like, world building at, like, starter blocks, and I'm wanting to see what he does, like, building it up as he goes, you know, because, like, hey, you know, Demon World in Irma was interesting. It had, like, really complex systems in place, and this one, it seems to, like, he's gearing up to do something even grander, so...
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm
but
excited.
Also, I just realized he did the same exact storyline of bringing a person who's not connected to becoming the one person connected.
This episode is going to be edited so much because there was, like, these two rambles that both of us went on. It was just, like, so much.
Yeah, your One Piece ramble lasted 20 minutes.
I know, and I didn't mean for it to, like, I honestly, like, look, if you're listening and there's no One Piece ramble in this, it's because I didn't intend to go there. Sacro asked me about One Piece, and suddenly I just,
I asked,
like,
you about the hero's journey, and you brought up One Piece.
You asked me if the hero, you said the hero's journey probably fits into One Piece, and then I just went off, right?
You could have been like, yeah, I could see that. And then we could have gone. You're like, well, yeah, technically, Oda created this masterpiece that no one else is ever going to understand, but I'll explain it to you.
I never said it. Nobody could understand. I'm saying that Eiichiro Oda probably plans a lot more than he lets on. And
you'd hope so, But we'll never know until, well, actually, we'll probably never know. No one ever tells their secrets about writing like that.
Yeah, nobody. Nobody ever. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This episode went off the rails in so many different ways. And I don't think that any of the things that we where we went off the rails was particularly wrong. I think that the things that we discussed weren't on target for what we were trying to talk about, but I think they were interesting. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a Patreon. And if you want to hear the completely unedited episodes where we just talk for hours about things that may be on topic, may not be on topic, if you want to hear all of our rambles, just go ahead and sign up. You know what? I'm going to keep it simple. I'm not a greedy person. $1 to sign up to the Patreon. $1. That's it.
And you can listen to now. I think it has to be $2.
$2. That's it. And then you can listen to the entire episode. And that way, you know, like, I'll just throw it up there completely raw, dog. Completely raw, bro. that was an accident.
So you're going to hear all the pops and the clicks and everything. It's going to be great.
Okay, so I'll maybe edit the pops and the clicks and stuff.
pops and the clicks, got it.
Yeah, but you know what?
There's a plane flying over my house.
Yeah, the plane, my dog barking, all that. I'm just going to throw it up there so that way if you're interested, if you want to hear the entire episode, all of our rambles, all of the tangents, all of the things that were not on topic that didn't make it to the final cut, it's on Patreon. Go ahead and, you know, like, join us. I don't expect to have many people joining right off the bat. That's fine. But that's where they're going to be for everybody if you're ever interested. You know, so thank you so much for joining us this episode where we discuss Itchy the Witch. Until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. This has been Sacro.
Hello and goodbye.
Adios.